Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24-7 coming up at 8 o'clock. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean at 9 o'clock to talk Tennessee Titans. Joe, Adam Vingan put out a really interesting piece the other day at The Athletic, and basically it was a 2022 Predators fan survey. So Adam did this at the end of last season as well in terms of a survey for Predators fans, basically about the direction of the franchise and how they feel things are going. And you can check that out at theathletic.com. Again, that's for subscribers, and I know that The Athletic has a deal going on right now for that as well. So check that out that Adam has tweeted out there. He's closing in on over 1,000 responses to this. So there's a few interesting things in here to get to, and I don't want to read his entire survey verbatim, so I'm not going to do that. But there's a couple of interesting questions that I'm really interested to see what the results look like when Adam gets done with it. And basically the first question he starts off with in this fan poll is, which word best describes your feelings about the current state of the Predators? And the options are optimistic, frustrated, skeptical, pessimistic, or apathetic. I'm really interested to see how that one turns out. Now, we talked about this last week after the David Poile, John Hines press conference. I don't know that I sense a ton of apathy right now from Predators fans. I think a lot of it is, you know, either pessimism or just frustration with the way that some things have gone. Now, I do think they're, you know, as the series from Colorado gets behind you a little bit, I have seen more Preds fans that say, all right, well, maybe you're a little bit ahead schedule in terms of your competitive rebuild or whatever and retool, and we'll see what happens this offseason. But I'm interested to see kind of what the temperature is of the fan base. I mean, when you get close to 1,000 responses, it's not, you know, it's not a gigantic sample size, but to me, it's a pretty big sample size in terms of Predators fans and how they feel about this team. So I'm interested to see what Preds fans' responses are to their feelings about how they feel about the current state of the team.
Yeah, well, I think, didn't Jared just go through this whole thing and fill it out? I think he did on the air.
Jared has been known to read an entire piece at The Athletic on the air before.
Ah, Jared.
Oh, I texted him one time and be like, hey, you know people have to pay for these things, right?
Well, it will be interesting because I think the, you know, one thing that will be really interesting is taking last year's survey and comparing it.
Yeah.
You know, to this year. I mean, that's where I think these really get interesting is the trending, you know, and now you do this year after year and you kind of get a feeling, and I'm sure there's not a ton of surprises, but I think last year the surprise was the Poile confidence. And in fact, because I'm unprepared, even though, you know, we spent like a good half hour talking about this segment and how I would have last year's survey up, I have failed. I apologize for that. But last year's survey, there was more than 50% confidence, I believe, in David Poile, which is, I remember thinking that was a bit of a surprise. You know, but the thing about last year is, remember, you know, the ending of last year was, it's like the reverse of this year, right? Like the way that they came on and you started seeing some of these younger, whoa, Carrier, whoa, who's this Janot kid and all this stuff. And it was the good finish, a really good series, really, with Carolina. That was a good series. That's a really good team. So you had your best stuff later in the season, whereas, of course, this year, it's a reverse. You're really good early, and you fade. So does that have an impact on things? Or just another year of, you know, not knowing where things are going to go? No, there's uncertainty right now as people fill out this survey about Philip Forsberg. You know, yep. What will that mean?
Well, and there's a question about him in the survey. Well, there's a really interesting question about David Poile in terms of the direction that he's leading the team that you can check out in the survey as well. Another thing I'm interested to see, and this kind of goes along with your poll question you put out there last week, How do you feel about the Predators giving John Hines a new 2-year contract? And the options are for it, against it, or indifferent. I'm interested to see what the response looks like there, because I got to say, I was a little surprised that your poll was, I think, 60% the other way of what we thought it would be in terms of the job that John Hines has done with the Predators.
I think it may have ended up 59-41, but regardless, basically 60-40 down on Hines, which, yeah, hey, I can't sit here and tell you, you know, this is the next Toll Blake in your midst, folks, but I that was surprising to me. I just haven't heard too many concrete, this is why he's not a good coach. I mean, other than, well, they haven't done that well. Okay. All right. But if you've watched this team relatively closely, to me, I think you've seen some good coaching. You see definitely some good individual turnarounds that I don't know how you don't give him credit for that, but I'm all ears. I mean, Jared has railed against him. I guess he's got his playoff record, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, we've talked, the playoff record is what it is. Now, eventually that's going to have to change when you're 4-15 in the playoffs. And I think he's 3-11 with the Predators. That's not good. I don't think there's any question about that. Again, I go back to the Carolina series. I think pretty much everybody would agree that they played pretty well in that series, and they gave Carolina just about everything they could handle. And you're a bounce or two here or there from making that a really competitive series, maybe taking it to 7 games. Now, I also understand, and I agree with this, there have been some people that pointed out, well, you had to win a couple of those games in overtime. You're also 2 bounces away from getting swept in that series. So I understand that, and that's how the thing goes sometimes in the NHL. The Colorado
series, Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's Stanley Cup playoffs. That's how it is. I mean, you got smoked by Colorado. So I understand the last thing that we've seen of the Predators in the playoffs was bad, and it was not encouraging. I don't think there's any question about that. But again, I go back to, they were so overmatched against Colorado. I think they were significantly overmatched against Carolina as well. What does the coach really, what's he really supposed to do in those situations? So I'm not saying that John Hines couldn't have done a better job in those series and that he couldn't get the team to rise up a little bit more, but I don't place the last 2 playoff series on John Hines. That's a roster issue in my mind.
But we'll see. I mean, that's going to be an interesting one. And so I don't remember how many people responded to my Twitter poll. A few hundred, I think.
Yeah.
I guess I would, you know, to me, what I like about this is that, you know, if you're subscribing to The Athletic, you know, for Preds coverage, or, you know, if you're subscribing to any outlet for coverage of a particular team, to me, then there's a certain level of investment from you that, like, frankly, like I put a little bit more stock in things like this because of that. Whereas obviously on Twitter, you know, I mean, anything I do on Twitter, I half expect Vol Twitter to hijack it and, you know, and do
something. You could have Red Wings fans all over your poll the other day.
Exactly. Right. That's right. So, and now granted, I mean, Red Wings fans subscribe to The Athletic too. So I suppose you could have that, but you know, typically, you know, the way it is, you have your teams at The Athletic set up. So like you'd have to dig to find this unless you already had a preference of Preds coverage. Right. So
yeah.
I think you're getting, like, I think it's a good glimpse. And frankly, if you subscribe for coverage of a team, I think that increases the possibility that you pay for tickets, that you invest, you know, otherwise in the team as well, which to me, not that people who aren't season ticket holders or go to games shouldn't have a voice either. I mean, you know, you got people who watch on TV, you listen on the radio, but you know, those people who are really invested, I mean, that's where, I mean, let's face it. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's a good cliche right there for you. You know, I mean, those are the people who can help dictate where things go too, because, you know, if they show up or they don't show up, that certainly makes an impact. So, I mean, that's where these surveys are really good. What I need to find is, I found last year's survey. That doesn't do any good. I need to find Vingan's story on last year's survey. You think he's up?
Probably.
Can I text him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it against etiquette to text someone at 7:12 a.m.?
No.
Not him. No? He's up.
I mean, but we're morning show people.
That's right.
Are you guys sure?
7's early or not early.
Okay. I'm going to text him right now.
He also has a baby. He's up. He has a baby. He's up.
Right. But that's also like that also might mean he went to bed at 3. You know what I mean? But yeah, whatever.
Well, so did Katie.
Yeah, I'll blame it. Yeah, that's okay. It's going to be a great day in the Rexroad household, folks. Oh, look at this. Your
thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025.
Before I even texted him, he texted me the link.
Wow.
Man. So
how's he up? He's listening.
Told you, he's up.
And the caffeine must be flowing, too. Good job, Bingen.
Shout out to Bingen. Coming up next, there is one question on the ice that Adam put in this survey that I'm really interested to get Joe's thoughts on. We'll do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Your Nashville's best deal of the week is Nashville B-Cycle. Nashville B-Cycle has been Music City's station-based bike share system since 2013. Get half off a monthly pass to Nashville B-Cycle, where you can enjoy unlimited 60-minute rides for 30 days now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, talking Predators, and specifically the Preds fan survey that Adam Vingan has put up at theathletic.com. Again, you can go check that out at theathletic.com. I'm not going to sit here and read Adam's entire survey, but Joe, there is one on ice question that I'm interested to get your thoughts on that Adam has put in here, and it's one that I've thought about. Which player has the best chance of repeating his career best performance? Matt Duchene with 43 goals and 86 points. Forsberg with 42 goals, 84 points. Roman Josi with 23 goals in 96 points last year. The best offensive season a defenseman has had in 30 years. So I throw that question to you, Joe Rexroad. Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi. Which player has the best chance of repeating their career best season in your mind?
Oh, that's easy. I mean, Forsberg, they got big plans for him in L.A. I mean, he's going for 50, 55 goals. I mean, come on. That's a gimme. But in all seriousness, that makes that question kind of interesting, you know? It's like, where's Forsberg going to play? You know, I would go with Josi. Even though Yossi's production was the best for that position in 30 years in this league, it was, I don't know why offense is exploding like it is in the NHL exactly. It's kind of, I mean, there's some of it is just somewhat random, it seems, but that's just how things are going. I think we're probably going to see some more big numbers for defensemen moving forward. And I just feel like his season is more like it was less of a, as great as he was. I feel like we were watching, like, well, my gosh, like, we've seen Roman Josi be great for a while now. And to me, it wasn't like some, where is this coming from? You know, it was just like, man, he's just a great player at the height of his powers. And until he starts going the other way, and I don't think that's imminent, I think you can expect him to have something close to that. And I'm not saying the other two can't. I know some people definitely expect Duchene to fall off the table. I mean, look, I don't think this was fluky. I think he really found something. They found something with him. He found something in his game. He found something in this system. I mean, I think Duchene is one of the biggest endorsements for John Hines that you can find. So I still think Matt Duchene is going to have a really good season next year. I mean, I expect that, but I can't. I think you're asking for a little bit much for him to get past 40 again.
43 goals is a lot of goals. I mean, even, you know, Forsberg's 27 right now. So I think this past year was really the culmination of what we thought Philip Forsberg was the whole time in terms of production. 42 goals, 84 points. Like, I thought for a while that's the type of player he is. By the way, 84 points in 69 games. So you're missing 13 games last season. Like, I think Forsberg's is the most repeatable. Like, I hear what you're saying about Josi, and I don't disagree with any of it. 96 points is a heck of a bar. Like, I think Yossi can be phenomenal next season, and he can end up with like 80 points. Like, you know, it's just what he just did was the best season we've seen from a defenseman offensively in 30 years in the National Hockey League. Like, I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to get back to that level in terms of 96 points. Now, maybe he can, because like I didn't watch Yossi play this year and think to myself, oh, well, this is fluky. Like, I mean, he was just involved, right, and the power play was really good. I think that was a big part of it as well in terms of you're picking up points on the power play. So that's to me, really, for all three of these guys, a prerequisite of putting up big seasons is you have to have a good power play. Like, you've got to take advantage of your opportunities on the power play. The most repeatable, I'll give the slight edge to Forsberg just because of the position that he plays. But it is close with Yossi. I mean, 96 points is a lot to get to. But if somebody could do it, he could probably do it. But I'll give the slight edge to Forsberg.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, he's like, there's more of an expectation. I mean, how many years do we talk about with Forsberg? Can he be a 40-goal scorer? I mean, how many times have we asked him? We asked him on the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's been – so now he is, and he is you know, he's right around that prime. Your prime starts at age 28, folks. And they need that. Like the Preds don't go into a season saying, man, Roman, we really need that 90-point season from you, buddy. So, you know, just captain the team and, you know, be sound in the defensive zone and help carry it, come along, and 90 points too, okay? Got that?
Yeah.
You know. But with Forsberg, like, it's kind of like, yeah, Phil, 40 goals would be great again. Can you keep doing that? That's, of course, if he signs.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jacob from Nashville texting in says, I've taken the last two season surveys. I've been to so many games over the past 15 seasons. I think the one question from this season that hit really hard for me was the in-game atmosphere questions. In my opinion, it's gotten so stale. Some of the new lights are cool, but everything else was so boring. Does anyone remember the first season of Shea Weber's captaincy? They started the Jay-Z Run This Town pregame song. That was peak Predators for me. We need to get back to that, please. This is coming from Jacob on the text line. Now, they did do Run This Town in the playoffs. I actually think they kind of need to move away from that and come up with something else. But what do you make of – there are a couple of Preds fan atmosphere questions in this survey. What did you make of what Jacob just threw out there on the text line that maybe it's gotten a little stale?
Yeah, that was a good idea by Vingan to include that. By the way, Vingan says he's been up since Arlo's been up since 6. So, Vingan, faithful listener.
Arlo's just up for our show.
Like, Arlo, let's get a little grub. Let's listen to some really good sports talk radio, buddy. Come on, Arlo. This is how you develop wonderful.
Did you just forget the name of our show?
What's that?
Did you just forget the name of our show?
No.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a funny thing to call it, and I just failed. No, I don't think that's what it was.
Robbie, I thought the same thing. What?
Jared. What? Yeah. No. No. I was trying to think of something funny, and like I failed again. So this question. I like how Vingan also puts in the Glorious Domination like little video just to get, because to me, that better be the runaway winner. His questions are, what aspect of the in-game experience would you eliminate? Fang Fingers, DMX's Party Up as a power play song, and they've done different ones.
Yeah.
But then they kind of went back to it. Right? That's how, as I recall, they kind of tried some different things and they kind of went back to it. Then the third thing is Glorious Domination. Glorious. That is the easy answer.
It needs to go. Like, it was cool in 2017, I guess. It's time to go.
That song doesn't grate on my nerves. It digs into my nerves and rips them at the seams, okay? And then he also has other. I don't know if there's a – is there an other that is obvious to you? I love like Monster Block and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll be honest. I still think the Predators do a pretty good job game presentation wise. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think a lot of things with if you're mad at Predators game presentation, like, I think you're grasping at straws a little bit because I think they do.
Except for Glorious Domination.
Except for Glorious Domination. I'm with you there. Like, it's time for that thing to go. but I think they do a pretty good job. But I'm interested to see what the fans' thoughts on this. I mean, we got another text says, I agree 100,000% with Jacob. I went to game four, first game since pre-COVID. It was terrible compared to what I was used to. Very cringy and forced fun and loudest. Now, my response to that would be, you also were down 0-3 in a playoff series in that one, and that may have something to do with that.
No question. That's the thing. You know, in-game experience, if it's not going well, you know, if it's not going well for the team and it's not a fun, happy atmosphere in the stands because it's not going well for the team, usually like in-game experience stuff is kind of like, ugh, shut up, you know? So, like, they could use some – I think it's always worth going back to the drawing board, come up with some new stuff, right? But I go with I go as a parent. I got a kid who's not a huge hockey fan but loves going to Preds games because it's just fun. They keep people engaged. So I think overall they're doing well. Mix in some new things, and yes, whoever sings "Glory," I didn't even know it was called "Glorious Domination." I just know that as soon as I hear the "Glorious," like, Scott Stapp, come inject Scott Stapp into my ears. I'll take that over this. Okay, that's how bad it is.
That is the one in-game operation that I would change. We need to see a little bit more Scott Stapp.
Yeah,
a year thing is it's okay, but I'd like to see it, you know, maybe on a biweekly basis, every couple weeks.
You're telling me Scott Stapp wouldn't accept the job just to be the nightly, between periods act?
I'm saying that you should float that out there to him.
Well, if he does, though, then he needs to, like there needs to be, like, a disco night, you know? Like,
staying alive.
Like, just, you know, do cover other stuff. And just use that talent for all it's worth, buddy.
Please, please do. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Joe Rex Road's favorite song, Glorious Domination, coming back in. I think we found a new Rex rant piece that we could use in the future.
Oh, yes, we have.
Out there. Throwing that out there.
I mean, come on. You're telling me that you guys are any less annoyed by that song than I am.
No, I don't. It's time to move on.
Agree. I don't like it either, but I just got to rattle to you.
Like, to me, and somebody just pointed this out on the text line, like that, I think David from Murfreesboro said that song will always be synonymous with the 2017 run. And I agree. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's 2022. Like, let's move on.
Well, I mean, look, I can't tell you how to think or how to feel, but when I think of the 2017 run, that song does not play in my head. And I won't be, I mean, not at all. I blocked that out. Okay. So, but hey, I know what you're saying. It was played. I mean, it's been, you tell me, Robbie. So my first postseason covering the Preds was 16, and I don't remember for sure. I feel like it was going then too. No?
No, it was 17.
It started in 17?
Yeah.
Okay. What did it replace? You remember that?
All it is a song coming back from second period intermission into the third. That's all it is. I mean, I think they did it after they won in 2017 too, like after all the victory songs were over. But yeah, I think that was a 2017 thing when it started. By the way, Adam Vinyan says that we need Scott Stapp to cover Glorious Domination. That'd be the way to go.
No, I'm turning in the last two. I've turned Scott Stapp into a bad Elvis impersonator, and now into a bad Springsteen impersonator. So
yeah.
Anyway,
Will in Bellevue on the text line says there are a certain percentage of fans at the game that don't have a clue or couldn't care less what's going on the ice. They're too busy taking selfies, looking at Twitter, or going for their 15th drink while the power play is going on. To some of them, it's just a party. We can do better as fans. This coming from Will from Bellevue on the text line. I think you're always going to have like the casual fan part of it, though.
Yeah, hey, you kind of
want that.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, there are some sports franchises that have enough absolute hardcore fans who are all in on everything, and that's great. But for the most part, most sports franchises need the casual fan who likes to come and have a good time, and that stuff's important. I mean, you can be a hardcore fan and read everything, watch everything, listen to everything, read all the analytics, all that stuff, and you can sit at home and watch every game in your home theater, you know? I mean, you're trying to figure out a way to get people to come out anymore, and it's getting more and more difficult.
Jonathan
in sports.
Oh, for sure. Jonathan in East Nashville texting in says, the in-game experience at Nashville SC versus the Preds is night and day. Take notes from NSC Preds. This is coming from Jonathan from East Nashville on the text line. Now, I haven't been out to Geodis Park yet, so I couldn't tell you what the in-game experience is like out there. I have heard good things, though, about the in-game experience.
Well, so it's funny because when the Preds, when basically every outlet, you know, in North America did a story about Preds fans at least probably twice or three times during the 17 run.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that was one consistent theme was like, this is not like a traditional hockey crowd. And part of the crowd, it was kind of like a soccer crowd, right? And that's the thing, like soccer crowds already have this built-in participation that's unlike any other sport. So I mean, like part of it is the sport, right? And all credit to Nashville SC as well. But I'm just saying, like, it's already that sport. Again, if you watch MLS, if you watch European soccer or soccer anywhere in the world, like it's very much it's much more orchestrated and like constantly engaged than any other sports crowd. What are you laughing at?
Dave on the text line says, could we please not encourage people to sing along with the anthem, especially Phil in 327? You're desecrating the Republic, Phil. This is coming from Dave on the text line. So Dave has big issue with Phil in 327.
Dave's calling
singing
shots.
Along with the national anthem.
Wow. I didn't even know about that issue. Well, you got the UC. Are we good with that? The O say, can you see?
Whatever.
You like that? Yeah, whatever. Okay, it's fine.
Whatever you want to do.
What are they going to do with, like, when it's Askarov in a few years, you know? Like, you got to somehow weave that in.
Well, the thing I didn't understand, like, there was still, like, a lot of Preds fans doing it in the playoffs, and I was like, well, he's not playing.
Yeah, but that's kind of like, we still love you, UC, type thing, right? So I think that's okay.
We really miss you. Yes. Eric on the text line says, can we please change our goal song? The song is played out and came out in the early 90s. If I could change anything, it'd be the goal song. I would like and love to change the goal song. Coming from Eric on the text line.
I'm going to disagree.
Yeah.
Now, look, I guess if it annoys enough Preds fans, then you consider it. But the thing is, you want a song that is really annoying for your goal song.
Well, I know for a fact it annoys other NHL players. They've spoken with me about this.
Yeah. I mean, and how could it not? I like it. I love it. I want some more. I mean, again, I don't know why I feel like singing today so much, but I mean, that's so annoying. I mean, if someone's just scored on you and then you have to hear that, it's not quite as bad as da, 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 but you can't steal that one.
Sorry,
I
mean, Nate, if you're listening.
You can't hope a Nashville sports station will play that for you.
Sorry, Nate.
Oh, man.
But no, I think you got to keep the goal song. So I wanted to get to the survey real fast here because I actually have a beef with Vingan.
Okay.
So good survey, and I'm going back through last year's and some really interesting stuff. You know, last year, for example, 940 responses last year. You know, how much did their second half 27-1 for people who remember change your outlook on the team's direction? The answer was slightly 57.7% was the most. Here's something that's interesting from last year. Again, this is the results from last year, which I think is always good to look back at the last year. Ideally, how should the Predators approach this offseason? Okay. Blow it up. Full scale, everything. 12.6%. Stay the course. No major additions or subtractions. That's like a fraction. Like it's like zero, which is not surprising. Go for it. Make a splashy trade or free agent signing. You know, 10.1%. Soft reset, tweak the core, fill the roster holes with prospects, 76.4%. So I got to say, and again, results are results. That's what matters. But 76.4% of respondents a year ago basically agreed with the plan and what ended up happening. So it's just interesting as you then look at the response to the end of this year, which, again, I'm not saying anybody's wrong for being upset right now, but I'm just saying people kind of liked what they were doing. And then also their confidence in Poile was the biggest respondent, was 34.8% right in the middle. But what Vingan didn't do this year, which I wish he did, was ask this question. Should the Predators have removed Poile as GM at the end of the season? Without looking, what percentage, or maybe you remember, but if you don't remember, what percentage do you suppose a year ago said, yes, they should have removed David Poile at the end of last season?
I'll go 38%.
You're very close. It was 59.1% no, they should not have removed him. 40.9% yes, they should have removed him. So this is my beef with Vingan is I want to see that number this year. In fact, Vingan, just do a separate survey just on that. It's one question. Like all of you who pull, yeah, bonus question, because I don't know, what would it be? Well, the same people, you know, 1,000 Preds fans, Athletic subscribers, what would they say right now? What would it be? What would the number be?
It'd be higher. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think it would be higher. Is it going to be over 50? I don't know. But that kind of brings up what I wanted to ask you. How much of this and how much of the frustration is based on the way the season ended? And I say it from this standpoint. Results-wise, there's not much difference between this year and last year. I mean, you're out in the first round of the playoffs. But last year, they were so bad to begin the season that they built to a point where they had an incredible second half run and it felt like you had some momentum. This year, it was kind of the opposite. I mean, they started 1-4, and after that, they took off, and they were really, really good. At one point, they were in first place in the West. And then, you know, obviously Colorado had some games in hands then, and then basically, you know, they were in that second, third wild card spot the rest of the year. But it didn't really fall apart on the Predators until April. Like, how much of the frustration right now is based on the way the season ended and how different that was from this time a year ago? I don't know what the answer to that is, but I think it's some of it.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, look, when you talk about trajectory, then obviously you're going to go with your most recent stuff. And what nothing matters more than what you do in the postseason. I mean, the Preds were division champs in 2018-19. We forget that. That's one of the probably easiest things to forget about this whole stretch is that. And I think that year was maybe wasn't a great year, but it's a very strong division. It's been a strong division. They won the division. For all of that team's clear backward steps from the President's Trophy season, they still had an awfully good season, right? But what do you remember? You know, you remember what you did in the postseason. So to me, I thought the Carolina series last year was encouraging because I think Carolina's really good. I think they were really good back then. And I thought it carried forward the play that the Preds had put together. And then this year, it was rough. I think the hard part with, you know, that's where the Hines criticism is like, well, he wore them out. That's what, like, Jared likes to say that. Well, I mean, look, I think you have to keep an open mind on anything, but then why were they better as time went on a year earlier? You know, it's the different season. It's shortened, but that doesn't really go together either.
Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Toledo Mud Hens, the AAA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
Real quick before I get started, thank you. I mean, I just – who sings the song, Glorious?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I saw it as a WWE.
It's definitely in WWE.
his intro right, song. But, I don't know what guy.
I mean, we need to properly shame the artist. But Vingan, by the way, a little bit of a tease. You know, he did the 1 through 5 question on Poile this year, just like last year.
And he did.
Sounds like it may be a bit different this year when the results come in. So I have planned all week to do a rant about AJ Brown and his camp, and I continue to have other things come up. So again, I won't do that. I'm going to go back to yesterday with a little postscript on the shooting in Texas. 21 people dead, 19 beautiful children, 2 adults trying to save them. Because I just wanted to tell you guys what happened from the time the show ended. You know, I like I said on the show, I can't do it. I can't even look. I can't get there. I read about the folks in Buffalo, just some, you know, a sweet old woman going to get ingredients for, you know, to make a pie that night. And the church in California, by the way, didn't even mention that yesterday because that's how often this stuff is happening, right? And now this, and then what's next? I mean, do we think it's going to be that long? I mean, sadly, I don't, but I think my approach yesterday is wrong, and I should rant against myself. And I was driving home yesterday, and Katie called me to start telling me about some of the kids who were killed in this massacre. And I said, like, Katie, I can't do it. But we talked about it, and she was pointing, like, no, like you need to, like, this is important. And so I did. I read everything I could read yesterday. I mean, there's some really, you know, really important work being done right now by people. This is part of being a journalist, is like these moments, like not only like what happened, recreating all that, trying to dig in on what happened, what could be different, what could be done, but also remembering these kids. My coworker Stephen Holder retweeted this thread, and I think it was a journalist in Texas with pictures of each one of these kids and a description. I saw one of the daughter of the 4th grade teacher who threw herself in front of the kids and got killed. Her Facebook post rips your heart out. And when you're done crying, I think you're going to feel rage. And I go back to Steve Kerr. Again, the problem with all this is that it gets to, okay, let's go to our silos now. And on this side here, let's say this, and on this side, this, and we can all be outraged for a few days, and then we'll go back to normal, and, you know, it'll happen again. And there's no quick fix for sure, because I said it yesterday, and I believe it, like, this is not just about guns. Of course it isn't. I mean, this is about a broken society, and there's so many aspects to it, and I continue to say I have no idea what we can do, but if we don't get desensitized, which again I did, and we don't get numb, and when we stay on this, you know, maybe we can at least do some short term stuff that can make it a little bit better. And you know what? You can call this talking politics. I don't give a crap. Kiss my ass, okay? Because, you know, I'm on a text thread with 3 college friends, some of my best friends in the world, day one freshman year. And in that text thread, we have, you go a range from as basically as right as you can be and basically as left as you can be, and then in the middle. I mean, it really is an incredible range. And we had quite a conversation yesterday, but the prevailing point was, like, don't we all agree on this? I mean, really, don't we all agree? I mean, you can talk about, you know, you can talk about any other issue and you can get into arguments and you can go to your silos, but, like, I feel like this is an issue where at least – short term, let's try to do something. Other countries have figured things out to make it common sense. And among the many things I saw yesterday, and thank you to Steve Cavendish for this, State Senator Adam Moorfield in Nebraska. He had a really good thread. He has fought for, you know, common sense gun laws, and he had a really good thread, which is on my Twitter account if you want to read it. And the point that he made here is, like, here's let me just read from this to the end. Okay, quote, State Senator Adam Moorfield, Nebraska, quote, as a gun owner myself, most gun reform laws, background checks, red flag laws, training requirements, et cetera, are not only strongly supported by the overwhelming majority of Nebraskans, but by a lot of gun owners themselves. It's a small vocal minority that uses scare tactics, threats, and political intimidation that influence lawmakers and executives. It's a never-ending battle, and no matter how many children or loved ones are killed, how many police departments tell them that it will make their job and their communities less safe, they will continue to advocate for gun policies that are dangerous. Some people have asked me, so what do we do now? It's a great question, and honestly, the only way it changes is if people of all political backgrounds say enough is enough and tell the representatives this is the one of their top issues and vote accordingly. Support elected officials will stand up for these, and now that's where you get into politics, okay? But, you know, I mean, look, I don't care about party affiliation. What I do care about is if you're someone who represents the public, I think that people on both sides of the aisle get enriched by special interest groups of various various issues, various industries and all that, right? Both sides, okay? But if you're getting huge amounts of money from the gun lobby, okay, well, see, this to me should piss everybody off. That was just, by the way, that was Adam Moorfield not talking. That was me breaking into my quoting of Adam Moorfield. Back to Adam Moorfield, quote, support organizations like At Moms Demand and At Every Town that do great organizing and education around these issues, end quote. So, look, there is a much bigger deal. Like I said yesterday, it's not. And sometimes what happens with these things is it becomes a gun issue. And my reaction is the same. It's like, yeah, but like it's way deeper than that. And it is. And I don't have the answers for that. I don't at all. I fear the lack of answers for that. Okay. But something to make it a little safer, a little less easy for someone on his 18th birthday to go get a couple ARs, a couple assault rifles. Just show up at a school, like some things like that. Wouldn't that help a little bit? You know, the guy in Vegas, by the way, you know, I talked yesterday about like the Columbine and the newspaper, you know, and covering that and how different it is now. When the shooting in Vegas took place, I was coming back from a Titans game and we got called, all the three of us who were coming back, and they said, hey, flights are coming in from Las Vegas. Stay at the airport. We stayed at the airport all day and we interviewed people who had witnessed that shooting in Vegas, that horrific shooting. And honestly, off the top of my head, I don't remember how many people got killed. But again, if there's a shooter on a balcony looking at a concert and he's got a gun, he can pick off a couple people, a few people, and then people can run to safety. When he has an assault rifle, you have a slaughter. Okay. I mean, there's no reasonable argument for anyone who's not in the military to have a freaking assault rifle. Kiss my ass again, and I'm done.
Well, and the part about this that, honestly, when we talked about this yesterday, was discouraging then, and it's discouraging now. It's Twitter, the last couple of days, has devolved into exactly what it does every time that something like this happens, and now it's not even about the children anymore. It's strictly about politics, and this is why I used the term desensitized yesterday, and I agree with you. That's probably not the right word that I should have used because we shouldn't be that way. But this is why this happens, is because every time something like this happens, it devolves into a screaming match on both sides. And it's really not unlike everything that goes on in our society right now. It's a screaming match one way or the other. And a lot of times when that happens, the actual people being affected by this get totally left in the dust. And I'm not saying that's completely what's happened in the aftermath of this. There's a whole lot of that on social media to the point yesterday where I just had to get off because I had enough of it.
Yeah, man. No, I totally agree. And look, I think there's so many issues out there that are left, right, and it's going to happen. Okay. But like, it's kind of like, I mean, this is maybe bringing this in just makes no sense at all, but I think of like college athletics, right? Like the Supreme Court was like, you know, that's totally bipartisan. Like, dude, come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. Of course, this is an antitrust violation, right? I mean, this one should be that too, right? Like this one should be that. And again, I'm not saying that there's no such thing as real gun control. I'm not saying it's going to fix anything, but man, make it a little more difficult for slaughters to happen. Then let's see if we can work toward bettering society. And frankly, probably what you just said, Robbie, and the way things are now, is part of the problem, I would guess.
Can't help.
And I don't know how the hell we ever end that, but man, we still should be able to come together on some things, like children being killed.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the show at 7:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt, hopefully at some point being played on the baseball field, and Tennessee as they head into postseason play as a whole. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.